Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. Well, kind of a short intro tonight. I'm sorry I'm a little late. I have a hard time. Hopefully everything's working here. Let me get up here and see if we've got sound going. I went over to take my, and by the way, welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 12th of August. It's a Friday. And we're going to have a, we'll talk about that in a minute. I took my youngest daughter over there to go with my middle daughter. They're going to go be checking into her college, her dormitory room, and so it was an unexpected trip, and I know exactly how long it takes. I had about halfway between here and St. John's, and they're paving the cotton picking road. I don't know what the emergency is that they're working this late, and I said, well, it's 6 o'clock, you know, when I come back, obviously they'll be, have everything picked up and be out of the way. Well, that was not the case. When I came back, they were still lined up, and got when they finally let a line of cars through, then we drove 35 miles an hour for 10 frickin' miles. So I am not in the greatest of moods right now, but I'm going to try to get through this without biting anybody's head off. I'm trying to look and see. Can't get the chat room to come up here. Just got my computer started. Talk about sliding in here and just getting ready to go. But we have interesting stuff to talk about tonight, and I'm not going to start talking about it until my chat room comes up and find out if we've got sound. So here we are, waiting. And we're waiting. For those of you that were with us, when was it? Wednesday night, yeah. I hope you enjoyed the interview we had with Graham Harbold with our choice for constitutional sheriff. What a lot of fun that was. Man, it was a blast. We had a bunch of people in there. Everybody was laughing, had a good time, and it was a heck of a lot of fun. And I've got that interview up. Podcasts are all completely caught up. I caught them up today. Maybe it was yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. Yesterday afternoon. So, if you want to go catch that, go to tsb.podbean.com, or it's up on iTunes by now. Just look on iTunes for the Shooting Bench, and you'll catch everything is caught up there. Everything's caught up except my computer. And boy, if that doesn't tear it, it's coming. I see a little bit of light. I see the light. I have seen the light. And I still... Okay, Charlie Brown? No. No, we're not going to do Ozzy Osbourne, but thanks for offering. It's a great idea, but not that great. Okay, now, we're still looking to see if we have sound. I can't see... Nobody said anything yet. Let me type that in there and see if we actually have sound yet. Let me check here. Okay, Iowa Cat says we're 5x5. If Iowa Cat can hear us, everybody can hear us. All right, let's get on with this. Here we go. Tampico Scout put a deal on my Facebook this afternoon, and it brought up an interesting discussion. Pumpkin Cat, good to see you. Iowa Cat, too, both of you. I don't see you both in here at the same time very often anymore. And since we're on that topic there, what I'm going to do is starting tonight, I'm going to run the first hour of the Shooting Bench and the next 2 hours of Liberty Lounge as two separate shows. So you'll have the same amount of downtime between these two shows as we do between Amy's show and mine when she's on. It'll take me, you know, about 60 seconds or so to get the other show running. Well, during that, not only for recording purposes, but for podcast purposes, make the podcast a little shorter for downloading. I just don't think people are going to want to download 3-hour podcast and then listen to an hour of stuff and then 2 hours of music. So I'm going to run them as 2 separate shows. So Anthony put this thing on my Facebook here about a grizzly bear that was, actually I had a whole bunch of other good news tonight, but this one really got my attention, and I don't want to save it till Wednesday. I want to talk about it tonight. So here we go. This was about a grizzly bear that was killed with a 9mm. Now, I don't want everybody to be that surprised about this. What this does basically is lend credence to what I have said for years, is that it's not the bullet, it's not the gun, it's not the cartridge itself, it is where you place the bullet. Is the 9mm what I would generally take deer bear hunting with me? No, it's not. But if it's what I had, and I was stuck in this situation, then we would have no choice. What do you say? Well, they tell me on the internet the 9mm is not enough for bears, so I'm just going to leave it holstered, or maybe I'll take it out and throw it at you, but I know I can't kill you with it, so why try? Why try? Because we want to live. Because we don't want to be mauled beyond recognition and live. If all I was armed with was a butter knife, a fork, then I would do my best to dig that grizzly bear's eyeballs out before he dug mine out. I don't know how well that would turn out. I'm suspecting not great, but I'm not just going to stand there. And in his environment, there is no chance of me outrunning him. I might be able to get up, if there's a tree right there real close, I might be able to, if I could get up far enough up there. Now, people say grizzly bears can't climb trees. That is not true. They will climb a tree. The problem is that most of them are so big that they have a hard time getting up some of those trees, but they will climb at least to some extent. So I'm this guy, they were fishing. Okay, if you're fishing in grizzly bear country, that doesn't mean that you necessarily need to take any smaller gun than you would if you were backing up a hunter in grizzly bear country. Now, I got to say, I give this guy a tremendous amount of credit. He's an experienced guide. He knows what he's doing. He was very calm, cool, and collected. He explained this in excruciating detail. The way I see that is time slowed down for him a little bit, as it does. That's not exactly true, but it appears that way. As it does in many lethal force or high-stress situations. And he had his client there, or a couple of clients, to back him up. To back up his story, not back up the bear, because all they had was fishing poles. Now, if all I had was a fishing pole, I would feel a wee bit undergunned. I don't care who I was going with or what their rules were or anything else. I would have a little bit of a gun with me of some kind. But now what I don't applaud this guy for is being what I consider to be very apathetic. Grizzly bear attacks are not that common. Yeah, there's a lot of them, but if you consider the number of people that have been in the woods, in grizzly bear woods, over the last many years, and look at the percentage of them that were attacked, it's pretty minuscule. There's still a lot, though, because there's a lot of people in that part of the country. So what I'm getting at is he had gone probably for so long, so many times, without any problem, that being a guide, he knows that he needs to take a gun, but he just didn't take one that was quite adequate for what the situation is. I wouldn't carry a 9mm in the Alaskan woods, in the Denali wilderness, or any place like that, for nothing. If I was stuck up there because of an airplane crash or something, and that's what I had, that would be one thing. To intentionally take a 9mm in there, in that kind of country, is quite another. Now, the reason I say he's apathetic, well, we're taking the 9mm to start with. Now, he was thinking about bigger hairy animals with sharp appendages here and there, because he had buffalo boar ammo, 147 grain hard cast lead. Okay, I get that. It was an 8-shot 9mm, 8-round magazine. And 8 was all he had in it. I mean, what I mean is he did not evidently have one in the chamber, because when he fired his last round, he fired 7 rounds. The bear went down on the 7th one. He had one left in the gun. So evidently he had an empty gun, put the loaded magazine in, racked the slide. Now, whether he was carrying it with round in the chamber or not, I don't know, and it doesn't matter as far as the story goes, because the timeline doesn't make any difference whether he had to rack the slide or not. But he fired the first shot into the neck area. He kind of had to wait because the bear was close to his clients, and he was a little worried about hitting one of them. And I'll tell you what, if I'm standing within 3 feet of a grizzly bear and you've got a gun in your hand, you better damn sure figure out how to do it and not hit me. If I'm 3 feet away and the bear is only 15, 20 feet away from you, shoot the damn bear already. If you can't do that without hitting me, then you ain't got no damn business out in the woods. And besides that, if you hit me, then that is probably much preferable to being mauled by a grizzly bear. Charlie Brown said, ever hear of Hugo Glass survived being mauled by a bear and left for dead? I have heard that story, and it's actually happened to a number of people that have had the guts and the determination to play dead and allow them to encourage the bear to go away. I don't know if I could do that or not. Boy, I don't know. That's why I would take my 10mm or 44 Magnum or something else out there, or 12 gauge with slugs in it or something like that. I don't know if I could lay still and let the bear chew on my leg, and after he bats me around for a while, figure out I was dead and leave. That would take a considerable amount of testicular fortitude. But anyway, so I got to looking here, and this is not nearly the first bear, grizzly bear. Now let's make a distinction here. For those of you that are not real familiar with bears, some people just say a bear. Well, was it a black bear or a grizzly bear? There is, or a koala bear. There is a tremendous amount of difference. Polar bear. I shot a bear with a whale. What kind of bear? Where was it? When you get into black bears, especially Kodiaks, they call them Kodiak bears. They're just grizzlies, but they live in an environment that makes them the largest bear out there, certainly the largest grizzly. They are larger than polar bears, not always as tall, but always heavier. Those bears can be 10 feet tall, standing on their hind legs, and 5 feet tall, down on all fours, and can weigh 12 to 1,500 pounds. Son, that's a full-grown bear. And it's not anything that I would relish the thought of attacking with a 9mm. But it has worked for more than one person. So what gets my interest in this story is the number of times that I have been poo-pooed for my advocating a 10mm being a great gun for protection. Well, I'm not saying it's the greatest gun for hunting, but I think it is a very, very adequate handgun for protection against grizzlies. Now, there was a grizzly killed in a house, a smaller grizzly, but a grizzly nevertheless, in a house in Alaska. This was some years ago, killed with a Glock 40 caliber. I don't know if it was a 23 or 22 or what it was, but it was killed in a hallway of a house. The bear ripped the door, ripped the window out or whatever, and come into the house while the man and woman was asleep. And this was a big deal for Glock. It was Glock's first documented grizzly. And there was at least two stories that I know of. One was a woman. Let me finish that. Two stories that I know of grizzlies that's been killed with 22s. A 22 will kill anything on planet Earth if you put it in the right place. Now, that may require being at close range and shooting in the eye, but the potential is there. Which is, you know, the point of, like the bear I killed the other night with the 22 Magnum. Is the 22 Magnum a bear gun? Absolutely not. Would I have taken it intentionally out to try to hunt this bear? No, I would not. It's what I had in my hands when I went out there, and it was the choice was to allow it to start killing animals instead of going back in, unlocking the safe, and grabbing a 308. So I used what I had, and it worked. Is a 243 an elk gun? I don't believe so. I know there's some people in Wyoming that use it routinely. I know of three or four of them that use 257 Roberts all the time. It is their regular elk gun. I don't believe in that. I think it's too light. If it's what I had in my hand and I had a tag and was surprised by an elk because of circumstances, would I try it? Yes, I would. I'm a good enough shot and a good enough sportsman to pass up a shot if it looks like I can't make it. But would I take it out to be my first choice? Absolutely not. Now, I was looking at a number of different stories online today after Anthony posted that story on my Facebook deal. And like I said, there's been a number of bears killed with a 9mm. There's been quite a number of them killed with a 357. So the difference here is the 357 has this word Magnum after it, which makes people think that it is more really than it actually is. Great round, don't get me wrong. I'm not bad-mouthing the 357 Magnum. I love the 357 Magnum. It's a great gun, great cartridge, particularly in a little lever-action carbine. It is a dynamite little round. But my point is the 357 Magnum, even loaded with heavier bullets, is not near what the 10mm is. I can get 180, even 200 grain bullets in excess of 1300 feet a second when in 10mm. You'd have to have a probably a contender or a pretty long barreled revolver to get close to that now in a 357. And out of a revolver, you're going to lose some velocity. So you're probably out of a revolver, you're probably going to be pushing it pretty hard to get 11. So if I can get 200 feet more out of that with the same weight bullet that's larger in diameter, then I am still knocking the 357 Magnum out of the park and approaching 41 Magnum ballistics. That's what people can't understand, can't quite grasp about the 10mm. There's been grizzly bears killed with damn near every handgun out there at some point. There was a lady who killed a grizzly bear with a 22 that was ripping a door off of her trailer house. She stuck her upper part of her torso out the kitchen window over the sink, stuck her arm out there with 20, and was shooting the bear as he was tearing the door off the trailer house. And this was in Alaska. There was another couple, younger, middle-aged couple, man and woman, were out hiking, And a bear got after him, and they were calm, cool, and collected, and pumped I don't know how many rounds into his head. But they killed the bear. Nobody was hurt. 22 is not a bear gun, particularly not grizzly bear. Will it work? Yes, yes it will. Yes, it has. Bunkin' Cat, where did I hit the bear? It was an easy shot. It was broadside. He didn't know I was there. The light evidently didn't bother him, or it confused him a little bit. He was moving, but it was probably 75 yards away, and I put it right in behind the front shoulder, and he run. I don't even know if it was 10 feet. He turned around, moved around, but 10 feet, and I knew by the way he hit the ground that he was dead as a hammer. But I didn't want to take the chance. When I said I am sportsman enough not to take certain shots, well, I took that shot, and I knew he was dead. But in order for me to get to him, I had to walk down the steps of the balcony, and at the time that I was on the steps, he would have been out of my sight. When I got off the steps and went through the gate, he would be back inside again. So I couldn't risk a wounded bear out there in the pen with the goats and me going out there to him. Yes, his front leg was forward. And me going out there to him and have him come to life. So I went ahead and put one between his eyes before I exited the balcony. I knew it was unnecessary, but I just didn't want to risk it. So, but the 22 Magnum, and it was also, it wouldn't have been quite so surprising if it would have been a 40 or a 50 grain 22 Magnum, even a hollow point. Smaller bear, the hollow point would have gotten deep enough. What it was one of the varmint rounds, the little, I got a couple of boxes of them sitting over there on the gun safe, but I can't reach them from here. They are 30 grains, I think, 30 or 32 Hornady's with the little ballistic tip. And, no, Iowa Cat, the goats were, they were a freaking nervous wreck. They had a hard time. They wouldn't even go to that side of the pen. They stayed all bunched up over on the side, all the next day. They wouldn't even walk over there. But anyway, this round was one of the little varmint rounds of the 22 Magnum. And smaller bear, so it got plenty deep enough, and I'm guessing, and I would have so liked to have had that bear to see what it did, but I'm guessing that it probably blew his heart up, damaged it pretty severely, because he took a few steps, and that was it. So, back to the story, I looked at a number of other stories here, and I found 9mm, I found 357 Magnum, I found another one with the 10mm, I found the one, I already knew about the one with the 40. But this guy fired, I told you he had the 8-round magazine, the bear went down on the 7th shot, he had 1 round left in his gun. I think he probably saved that one for himself, what I'm guessing. The one with the 10mm here, the guy said, he said the 10mm performed like a champ. However, the 9mm put the bear down better than this 10mm did. Of course, he had to shoot 7 shots. This guy shot the first one at 40 or 45 yards in the same place I shot it with the 22 Magnum. Obviously didn't hit the heart, or maybe severed an artery, above the heart or something. It took him a little longer to bleed out. But they were tracking him. They couldn't find the blood for a while because the hair was so thick that it soaked up the blood, up to a certain point. Then it started running. They didn't have to go too far. They went to a little depression there, and the bear had circled around behind them and was actually trying to ambush him. He was running straight towards him, and he said he was only about 12 feet away. And the guy had to step to the side of the, I don't know if the other guy was a guide. I think the other guy was a guide, actually. Said he shot the bear directly in the chest at 7 feet. Now, here's another guy that's pretty calm, cool, and collected. But, yeah, he said that one dropped the bear in his tracks. He'd already been hit once. He'd been hit twice. He said he saw him about 100 yards away, and he said, he's already wounded. I'm not going to be risking anything. This is the same thing, the same logic that Elmer Keith put into that mule deer buck that he shot at 600 yards with the 44 Magnum, or the hot loaded 44 Special, I think it was. He didn't just chance a shot to see if he could hit it. The deer had already been hit with a rifle. So he wasn't risking anything. If he hits it, fine. It makes it bleed more make it easier, faster to get. If he misses it, that's okay, too. He wouldn't have taken the shot if the animal wasn't already wounded. This bear was already wounded. He knew he'd already hit him fairly solid. So he wasn't risking anything. If he could put another little piece of lead in him, maybe that would slow him down some more. Well, it did. And the last shot from 7 feet away, whether it was, nobody will ever know if he was about to expire anyway from the other two shots. But anyway, it put him down. And there's a picture of him there. He's not a real big grizzly. He's substantially bigger than the black bear I killed with the .22 Magnum, but he's not a real big grizzly. The one that the guy killed with the 9mm, that was a pretty good-sized bear. I don't think he was any type of a world record or anything, but he was a pretty good-sized bear. And the one with the... Well, there's one. There were several. I looked up quite a few of them with the .357 Magnum. And but there was another one that was kind of interesting here. And that was... Let's see here. Oh, no, this is the one. This is from the American Hunter, the NRA magazine. Talks about the guy that killed the one with the 9mm that started this whole conversation here. But I've got a couple more here that I just looked up tonight. And let's see. One of them. Let me bring this up here. Okay, one of them says, this was back in 2002, and said the bear surprised three people at 2:30 in the morning, and he said he'd heard his friend yell, "Bear, bear," and the guy had, he fired from, he said it was closing to about 44 or 5 feet away. He fired twice. The sow, estimated at 400 to 450 pounds, went down, and then he fired three more shots into her head. He wanted to make damn sure. But he killed the bear with a .357 Magnum. This was possibly a over 400-pound animal. What did I say? 3 feet? No, he killed it with a 9mm. Wake up. He shot the bear with a 9mm semi-automatic pistol. He said it was such a low-caliber gun, ordinarily doesn't pack enough punch to kill a bear, but Brenner unloaded the pistol with full metal jacketed bullets that penetrated to the bear's vital organs. Now, that's a big thing when you're hunting big bears, shooting big bears. He wasn't hunting. He was trying to get some sleep. And evidently, he fired... Yeah, he fired two shots. Two shots, put it down, and then put three more in its head after it was down. I'm sure he was a little panicked and wanted to make sure that bear didn't get up. So there was a cub with her, and that was they tranquilized it and collared it and moved it off to another area. And then there was another one here, some hikers. This was in Denali Park, and this was not just about a year after it became legal to carry guns into national parks and national monuments. The guy that was in the lead drew a .45 caliber semi-automatic pistol. When he heard the noise coming from the brush, the bear emerged from the thicket, ran towards the hiker. He fired approximately 9 rounds in its general direction. The bear stopped, turned, and walked back into the brush. Well, after the bear disappeared, the two hikers went to turn around, walk back a mile and a half. They run into a park employee who called it in, and they flew over there and they did everything. Next morning, a couple of guys went in there to get him, or to see if they had. They closed the park and everything, that area of the park, because they didn't know if they had a wounded grizzly out there. So they They went up there and they said they found the bear about 100 feet from the pile of shell casings. So he shot 9 times, no telling how many times he was hit. I'm sure that they determined that, but it's not in the story. And then it ran, it went 100 feet. That's admirable. That's not bad, for especially for a 45 ACP. 45 does have more energy than the 9mm, but it's, you know, the penetration, depending on what kind of bullet they're using, may not be as great. Now, in contrast, here's a story from, I believe this one's from 2011, I don't remember. But this guy drew a tag on Kodiak Island in 1979. He hunted for 10 days, never got close enough to try a shot with his 44 auto mag. He said, no, I wasn't completely insane back then, which I don't think that's insane. I don't think that that's unusual at all to have a reliable semi-automatic handgun in 44 auto mag. I don't think that's insane. I think it's a challenge. Insane? Not at all. But anyway, his partner was backing him up with a .338 Win Mag. So he said, on a side note, in the 70s, there was a full-mount record book Kodiak on display in the J.C. Penney store in Anchorage, Alaska. This one took 10 shots from a .375 H&H to put it down. Now, here's where things get out of context or out of proportion here. You know, back in the day, they didn't have hollow point bullets. They weren't aware of expanding bullets other than deformation of soft lead. And, you know, they hunted deer and everything else with what we consider now to be some of the most anemic calibers. You know, 38 40s and 44 40s and 41 rim fires and that kind of stuff. Handguns and rifles both. They had rifles back then, not nearly as powerful as a lot of the handguns we have nowadays. But the difference was, I think, in the attitudes and the training. The training back then equated to hands-on experience. You talk about, just do a search after the show's over tonight or tomorrow and you think about it. Do a search for, man kills bear with .357, man kills bear with 9mm, man kills bear with handgun, whatever. And you'll find people on there in these forums that say, well, I'll tell you one thing, you know, I'll just stick to my .338 Win Mag or my whatever, is .357 adequate for bear, for black bear, not grizzly bear, black bear? No, not just no, but hell no, one of them said. Well, yeah, for a black bear, absolutely. .357 Magnum is more than enough medicine for any black bear. And they have killed a number of grizzly bears. It's putting the shot where it counts. And using the right kind of projectile. Would I use a Glacier safety slug? No. Would I use a very quickly expanding hollow point made for personal defense? No. What I would want, at the very least, would be a good soft point. And even better would be a flat point full metal, or either a flat point truncated cone full metal jacket or a flat point hard cast lead bullet, either a wide flat nose or a Keith style semi wad cutter in hard cast. That would be my two favorites. Anyway, he says this other guy, he said there's another record book on display in the Kodiak Airport terminal. That one was taken down with one shot from a .250 Savage. Now, the .250 Savage was the predecessor of the .257 Roberts, for the most part. And is it a grizzly bear gun? No. the 357 or 375 H&H is a grizzly bear gun, but it took 10 shots to put it down. Why? Because they weren't put in the right place. I don't even have to be there to see that. They were almost certainly full metal jacketed or hard cast lead bullets. And if you put, you know, half a dozen of them through the guts and hit one in the leg and one in the shoulder and finally get two or three of them around the vitals somewhere, then, yeah, it could take 10 rounds to do it. But on the other hand, I'm guessing that this guy was probably a little on the nervous side when this happened. I can say, on the other hand, the guy with the 9mm shot 7 times, calm, cool, and collected, was very calculating and precise with his shooting. And on the 7th shot, the grizzly bear went down. We're talking about 115 grain. Well, no, he said 147 grain hard cast lead bullets. So, big difference. Thank you, sweetheart. We're going to be taking a break here in a little bit, and I'm going to have dinner. Okay. My lover just brought me something good to eat. Okay, thank you. What is the cheapest acceptable 357 Taurus, maybe? Punctuation is a wonderful thing, Charlie Brown. I'm guessing, what is the cheapest acceptable 357, period? Taurus, maybe, question mark? I'm thinking that's the way that should be written. So, assuming that that's what you mean, Taurus is not the cheapest, but it's a great gun, especially modern Taurus. I have no problem with them. Ruger's fairly affordable when you look at the Smith & Wesson's and Dan Wesson's and some of these others. But Taurus is probably a good compromise between something like a Charter Arms or something like that. I would trust my life with anything that Taurus makes or has made in the last 25 years, 20 years maybe. They have come a long, long ways. I have zero problem with the Taurus. I would trust one of those every bit as much as I would trust a Smith & Wesson, and they're two-thirds, I don't think they're half the price, probably two-thirds the price for a comparable gun. They're accurate, they're reliable. They have an excellent warranty. You can't go wrong with the Taurus. And they have a wide selection, you know, lots of different directions to go with that. And 357, if you like revolvers, it is the, you know, other than a 22 or a 22 Magnum, for other chores, a 357 Magnum is a great choice for just about anything a man or a woman wants to do with a handgun, especially in the hunting field. With a longer barrel, 6, 7, maybe 8 3/8 barrel, something like that, and some good hot loads, you're looking at a handful of damn firepower right there. And Taurus also makes, I think, some 7 and 8 round 357 Magnums. So, you know, a little higher capacity. You practice with your speed loader and you've got, 14, 16 rounds, most Ricky Tick. So that's not a bad thing. So, with all my, and all this, what the hell is that? June bug, I think. So, with all this stuff that's going on nowadays, with all the people that I think lack the knowledge, they lack the experience, and they're the ones that say, oh, you can't use that gun, that's just stupid. You can't, it's never stupid unless you're stupid, unless you're not experienced enough to make the good shot, you know, enough of a marksman, enough of a sportsman to put the shot in the right place, then yeah, there are some stupid things you can do, but carrying that gun in particular, I can't begin to tell you. Now, the statute of limitations long since run out on this. I can't begin to tell you how many deer I've killed with a 22 and 22 Magnum. I know of probably a dozen elk that were killed with both 17 HMR and 22 Magnum. Put the bullet in the right place. Do I advocate hunting with those? Hell no. Absolutely not. But under the circumstances, sometimes if that's what you have and that's what needs to be done, aim carefully, be a good sportsman, and take the meat home. You know, it's as simple as that. It's really not rocket science there. But anyway. Well, as I'm wondering if I could handle 357, my wrist is still kind of weak. Charlie Brown, you know what I'm fixing to tell you. You already know that. I shouldn't even have to tell you. But I will tell you. A 357 Magnum with any length barrel, especially your 6-inch and below, especially your 4 and 2-inch, has pretty fierce recoil. It has monstrous muzzle flash. I still have to say, I quantified my statement a while ago when I said it was a great gun. If you like revolvers, why not get a 10mm? Get a 10mm Glock. You can find those on Gun Broker regularly for $450 that are in good condition. $200, $250, $300 cheaper than good revolvers. Recoil is, even with heavy loads, is probably not two-thirds, probably closer to half of what a 357 Magnum is. You get more power, higher capacity, lighter weight, slimmer profile. It's to me, it's a no-brainer. If you want to hunt, you want self-defense, you want to target shoot, you want to shoot long range, you want to do anything, the 10mm will do anything that you think you're man enough to do with a handgun. If you just are dead set on a revolver, get a 357 Magnum, shoot 38s in it if you think you don't want to hurt yourself. If the 357 Magnum hurts, then shoot some lighter 38s in it until your wrist will take it. The only thing I'm thinking, though, why spend $600 or $700 on a 357 Magnum if you're going to have to shoot 38s in it because of your wrist? So get a 10mm. You shoot more power than the 357 and less damage to your wrist. So just my opinion, and you're welcome to it. Okay, well, I think we're going to start easing on towards the door over here. And, you're going to experience just a little bit of silence. It's going to take me a second to get everything running here and come back with Liberty Lounge. And I'm going to start out Liberty Lounge. I'm going to give you a hearty welcome and play a couple of songs so that I can eat this wonderful dinner that my lover just brought to me. And so it may take me just a minute here to get everything together. Computer, obviously, the computer runs great until I'm in a hurry, you know, until I really need to do something. And then the stupid thing goes nuts. So, anyway. All right, well, let me put that up there. And I will say goodbye, or I'll say ta-ta for just a couple of minutes, and I'll be right back with Liberty Lounge. Thanks for joining me. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No explanation, no reconciliation.